I think being a manager at probably in any era is a difficult time. One of the things that I kind of woke up this morning thinking about this, and I was, one of the points that you made, as your influence sphere grows, then you end up influencing people you don't even know. I was reminded of this incident that happened when I was in the eighth grade, where every eighth grade girl gets traumatized, and there's this girl down the street who told my sister that she didn't like me. Well, I had no idea who she was. I didn't know who she was. And so she says, I don't like your sister. I hate you. And so my feelings were so hurt because here's this person that I didn't know doesn't like me. And so as you rise up through the ranks and you become a leader of a lot of people, then you end up not being like the most popular girl in the class. And you have people that, for some unknown reason, just can't stand you. For some reason, people say, well, you're evil, you're insidious, I'm going to turn you to the IG, I'm going to do all these evil things. And yet, you still have to have the courage to get up every day and do the things that don't make you popular, but do the things that you're supposed to do to meet your mission and do what's called and what's asked of you. So just like any eighth grade girl, the 50-year-old girl has to, you know, you have to shake those tears because it hurts. It absolutely hurts. So you have to shake the tears, shake it off, and still stand up and be a leader and do what you're supposed to do.
I remember, I won't say where because people could actually put stuff together. Now, I've been at several agencies. Very early on, and I got my first rating, and they said, you're doing really well, but you know, you're kind of doing other people's work. And I said, well, I'm kind of bored. And they said, well, this is what it is. And I said, well, not for me, got to go. So I found a new job, and I always remember that. So I think in terms of leadership, what I always like to do, sometimes I haven't been as good at it as I could be, but I like to hire people who are smarter than me and then give them the work and let them alone. You know, you just give them, here's where we want to go, here are our goals, here's the plan, go out and do it. And I have found that to be very effective. And he was sitting in the front row at your hearing the other day. I was way in the back. You didn't see me.
Kate, I want you to talk about this, too, because from a young perspective, you're working your way up. And I remember when I was a young person and I said, I could do that job better. And then I got there and I didn't always. It's challenging. It's really hard. What makes for a good leader? Speak to these people and those people. What helps you flourish in your job?
Let us screw up. I think that's the biggest thing, because there's no mistake really that we can make that can't be fixed. So give us the opportunity to learn from our mistakes and grow from them. So that would be the biggest thing that I would say, you know, to my bosses. Give me the opportunity to fail if that happens, but give me the opportunity no less.
Yeah. Here.
The two things that I would say, and this is, my last job was chief of staff at SBA, and that was a big management job, is as a manager then, I'm fine with people making mistakes. It's the cover-up.
Where have we heard that before?
As a good Republican I am. I would much prefer, you know, I made a mistake, come in. I mean, I may be exasperated, frustrated, and be like, but I was always like, fine, just tell me so we can clean it up right away. It's the mistakes later, particularly around procurement, where people, and I'm like, you know, and this isn't directed at anyone, but, you know, I accidentally leaked procurement-sensitive information. Tell me now. Let me cancel it now. Let me do it now. Let me fix it now. And it's. I'm fine with people making mistakes. It's clearly the cover-up, where you get the later on the IG coming in, when did you know it, how did you know it, etc. And I would go to the mat for staff. I would go to the mat. The second thing that I would just like to make a point on leadership, and no one's really said this, I want people to leave me and do better, because to me that's an investment in government. So I worked for a wonderful man who's the former Assembly Republican leader of New York State. He literally, and we were a minority, he literally really thought that all of us who worked for him, you know, we were always going to be the minority. We were never going to take the Assembly of New York State. It's still that way 20 years later. His goal was, you're there dedicated to government. You believe in it. do the best you can with for me and move on to other government positions where you can contribute and keep doing that. So when people would come to me and say, can I use you as a reference, or I've got this job going on, or I'm applying for that, I would absolutely help you. I will absolutely help you move on. It was great while you were here. It was terrific. Please keep investing. Please keep working on that. And I think that we really have to look at that. Some, particularly this generation, may only come and work for you for 2 years. I mean, you can give them everything that they want. You can give them picnic, you know, at the Y, but you can do all of that. But they're restless. They're ambitious. They want to move forward. To me, if you're willing to move forward and you're willing to move forward in government or a government-related field, I will do everything I can to help you move forward and do well. Because that truly is an investment in all of us.